I'm going to tell you about this sermon today. This is a disclaimer. Y'all like disclaimers? I'm going to give you one anyway. just saying. So today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, this is the thing. You cannot talk about the spiritual gifts in 30 to 45 minutes. I'm going to try and keep it to 30 for you guys. Maybe even, I don't know, not 20. That's too much for me. So, again, like I said, I had so much stuff put in here. I don't think that I'm going to get to it all today. But this is the reason why I'm going through it the way that I'm going through it. This, how many of you like going to Sam's? I know y'all say this is squirrel, but this is right on target. I promise you, this squirrel's going to hit. I'm going to catch this one. How many of you like going to Sam's? I love going to Sam's with me and my kids. But do you know what one of the most fun things about going to Sam's is? Not that they sell sushi in the back. That's a bonus. But one of my favorite things about Sam's is the samples. How many of you love the samples, right? And so you go from place to, like, we look for the samples, and then we go shopping and hope they don't notice when we come around a second time. Sydney, the other time, I was like, Dad, do they sell clothes here? I'm like, yes. She's like, can we go change and get some more samples? I'm like, no, that's not. Good thinking, but no, we can't do that. So, why do they give you those samples? What's the purpose behind those samples being there? So that you get a taste of it and you think, oh, I want some more of that. Let me get all of it, right? The reason why we preach on Sundays, why we're doing it like today, the reasons why I'm talking about these things is because I want you to see something and say, oh, I want some of that. Let me go home and get in here and find all of it, right? That's what service is supposed to be on Sunday. It's not supposed to be your spiritual meal. It's supposed to be just enough to make you want to go and get more of what's going on, all right? And so that's why I tell you guys, get one thing. Remember one thing. Eat on that one thing. Find something to get back in your word and go. About fail. Don't do that. To go through and to eat on all week. To feed yourself on all week. And so today, we're going to go through these things, and it might be really, really quick, and you say, man, you should spend some more time on that. I'm doing that so you spend some more time on it. Amen? I'm doing that so you go home and you say, man, he's talking about this word of knowledge. I don't really understand what it is. Let me go find it. Let me go research it. Let me go study it. I want to know about the gifts of healing. Let me go find it. Let me research it and see what it is, because that's something that I want in my life. How many of you want the gifts of God in your life? How many want them to be able to operate? How many of you know it's no good to have a gift and not be able to operate with it, right? It's no good for me to give you a bicycle and you not to know how to ride, right? It does you absolutely no good for me to give you this information, these things. And this is where, not just me, this is everywhere in your life. It does no good for you to come to the Crown class and to get all this information and then go home and not use it, right? You have to put it into practice. And the same thing, and that's what we talked about last week, the same thing's true about the gifts. So we're going to go through some of them today. I'm going to read some scripture to you. I'm going to kind of just go over really quick what we talked about last week, and then we're going to go on to some new stuff. You guys ready? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led. So they went after whatever direction they really wanted to go. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. Let no one, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except he in the Holy Spirit. Now it says this. Now there are varieties of gifts. Let me stop right there. The reason why he's preaching this and saying this to them is because they're following all different kinds of gifts, of things that are happening from all different kinds of gods that they worshiped, right? And they would run after all these things. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to tell you what's really of God, and I'm going to tell you what's not. I want you to understand, to know that you can divide between the two. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. But this is why he's addressing it with the church in Corinthians. Again, Corinthians was a great church, a good church, but they had a lot of issues. How do we know they had a lot of issues? How do we know they had a lot of issues? Not just look, if you don't even look at history books, you read your Bible, how do you know they had a lot of issues? No, because he's saying, hey, you guys need to do this. Remember what I told you before? These are your issues. This is how you take care of them. They were having issues in church where people were using the gifts of God in a way that shouldn't have been used. And he's saying, hold up, let me teach you, let me train you the way that these are supposed to be used so you're not using it incorrectly. So you're not following after something you shouldn't follow after. How many of you know we follow after all kind of stuff that's all jacked up? At times. And we believe it. Why? Because somebody told us that. He's saying, hey, listen, people are coming and bringing you all this stuff, and I want you to know what's true and what's not, what's of God and what's not, right? And so this is why he's writing this book and saying these things. He says now in verse 4, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them in all. The gods that they were serving, right, they had a different God for a different thing, right? If you look at like mythology and all of that kind of stuff, Thor was the god that did this, and Loki was the god that did this, and this one was the god that did this, and they had all the different gods, and they had an attribute. He's telling them, look, this one God has all this, and it's real. It's not like what you're following. And so he's reading these things, and he's saying, the same God, all these things come out of. You don't have to go to a different God for different things, right? And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. What did it just say? He empowers it to who? All and in everyone, right? All the gifts in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We all have his gift inside of us to use for the people who are sitting around us. Our gift, again, is not just for us. It's for everyone that is around us. For to one is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, utterance of wisdom, to another, utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretations of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills. Again, he apportions to each individually as he wills. For just as the body has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So it is with Christ. When it comes to spiritual gifts, there's one qualification to have those. You ready for it? Christ. There you go. Y'all answered it for me. Y'all already knew that one, huh? You have to be saved in order to receive the spiritual gifts from God. Now, there are some, I'm gonna take a step forward. There are some that believe you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there are some that don't, right? And I'm just going to say this. There are people in the Old Testament, when you read through it, you can see almost all the gifts used in the Old Testament by different people when the Spirit of God came upon them. But they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? I've listened to many, many ministers who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit but operate in some amazing gifts of God. And so I'm not gonna say that that's a qualification that you have to have. What I am going to say is get in your Bible and read it and find out what you believe for yourself on that one, okay? All right, and then it says this. It is the Holy Spirit that gives gifts to each Christian as he wills. The first week we talked about, remember, a gift is a gift. It's not a reward. A gift is something given willingly without payment. It's a present, basically, is what it is. A reward is a thing that given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. How many of you know everything we get from God is not because we've achieved it? It's not because we earned it, right? It's a lot of stuff we earned that he doesn't give us. Thank you, Jesus, right? And so just remember, everything that comes from God is a gift. It's not because we've earned it. It's not a reward. Now, again, in saying that, there is rewards that come from obedience, right? There are blessings that come because of obedience in our lives. And that's a whole other message, and I don't want to get the two mixed up, so I'm going to keep going. Every Christian has gifts. Remember, we read in the scripture, it says he gives them to all, right? Everyone. He gives it to individually who he chooses. Now, individual gifts are given for the whole of the church, right? That's, and I'm not going to get too far into it. If you need to do it, go back and listen 2 weeks ago. And then Christians should cultivate their gifts. How can you cultivate something if you don't know what it is, right? How can you cultivate something if you don't know what it is? So today we're going to talk about the gifts, and they break down into kind of like three categories that I'm going to talk to you about, and I'm going to kind of mix them up a little bit in the order, I believe, of what it says in the scripture, but you'll see why in just a minute. There's nine gifts. Some say seven, some say more. Nine gifts is where we get out of here in this scripture right here. So the first ones that I'm going to talk about are the revelational gifts. The gifts of revelation. Gifts that are given to you that there's no way you could earn it or find it. Information that comes to you that God gives to you. Amen? The first one is a word of knowledge, right? It's not a gift of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. God gives you this in a gift. It's a word. And the word of knowledge is simply the Holy Spirit transmitting his specific knowledge to you on something that you would have no ability or means to be able to know about with your own limited intelligence or knowledge level. It's a supernatural. It's the supernatural knowledge and insight being given directly to you by the Holy Spirit. Again, not of your own mind, not of something that you could already know. We see some of these things happening, and I'm going to read a couple of verses really quick where we see this happening to people in the Bible. Peter is on a journey. This is Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 19. It says, the next day they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and he wanted something to eat. And while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending down and letting down by its four corners upon the earth. And in there were all kinds of animals, reptiles, birds of the air. And there came to Peter a voice, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is unclean, common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. I'm going to stop right there. This has nothing to do with this part, but I'm going to stop right there. Y'all ready? If God has redeemed somebody, don't dare call him not clean. If God has given someone a place to his family, accept a man, okay? I'm reel it back in. 16, this happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once into heaven. Now Peter was inwardly perplexing as to what the vision that he had seen might mean. Behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made some inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called and asked whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter pondered the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, there are three men looking for you. Okay? This is a long story. This is Peter saying, this is God saying, hey, if I've said that Gentiles are clean, don't call them unclean. If I've sent somebody to you and you say, well, they're dirty, I don't really need to talk to them, or they don't look like they would accept, so I ain't going to do that, or they've had a different life than me, so I don't need to talk to them. There's no way God could redeem them. That's a lie. That's a lie, and that's what God was showing to Peter. And then he said, hey, get up, go downstairs. I've got some guys coming to see you, right? How could he know that those guys were there to see him? They were at the door. They were inquiring about him. They wanted to find him, but he gave him what? Knowledge that he would have not otherwise known, right? Let me show you another one, and then this isn't in your notes. This is just, I'm just thinking. The woman at the well. She comes to Jesus. Jesus says, she's like, where's your husband? She's like, oh, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've been living with like five different guys and been married five times. And the guy you're with now ain't even your husband. And she's like, oh, how do you know that? How did Jesus know that? It's not that he did his homework before he came to see the lady at the well and knew she was going to be there. What? The Holy Spirit gave it to him, right? He gave it to him and allowed him to see, hey, this is what's going on. We have another place in Acts chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. It says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise, go to a street called Straight and look for a house. Look at the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen a man in a vision named Ananias come to lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God gave him, the Spirit gave him orders. Hey, go do this. He's like, no, you don't understand. So God gave him a revelation about who Paul was, Saul was, what Saul was going to do. He said, hey, you go here. You go see this guy. This is what I want you to do. How could he know otherwise? How could he have knowledge of that? He can't. He can't. This is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit about certain facts in the mind of God. And it's spiritual ability that reveals knowledge of the past or the present. God reveals certain information to us because he's an all-knowing God. Omniscient. There you go. That one. He knows everything. Let's just say that, and then we're going to go on. Therefore, It's not a gift of knowledge, but it's a word of knowledge given to us as a gift, okay? The next thing that we're going to talk about is a word of wisdom, right? You say, well, is that the same thing? No, it's a bit different, at least in my mind. Again, get in your word and study it and see. But it's a supernatural ability that imparts certain facts about the future to men. It provides solutions or a way out. It is also a divine ability to understand the purpose and plan of God and to bring clarity to situations and circumstances. And a lot of times, a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom work together. They work together. So the word of knowledge would be, hey, this is the information I'm giving you. A word of wisdom is, this is how you use that information that I've given to you. This is what you're going to do. Let me show you how that works. Joseph, he has a dream. He comes and he reads the dream, right? And then he says, wait a minute, what does that even mean, right? And we call it interpreting the dream. But what happened is the Holy Spirit gave him, hey, this is how you fix the problem that I just set in front of you through the knowledge that I gave you. Does that make sense? Because y'all are looking at me like, wait, what? Let me show you this. They work together. Paul, we just read this in Acts chapter 27 on our Wednesday night study. He's on a boat, right? He's being taken from Rome to Rome from where he's at. He's being taken by boat, and they're getting in the boat, and it's about the time. So September's good, October's not so good, November's bad, December and January don't get on the water, right? You'll be caught in, and they wanted to get out. The people didn't take his advice, left out. Go read 27th chapter. You'll see what I'm talking about. But anyway, he's there, and the Holy Spirit spoke something to him and said, this is what you need to do, right? Acts 27, 23, and 24, it says, and he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men. I have faith in what God has told me to do. I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told, but we must run aground on some island, right? So this is what's happening. They're in a storm, 14 days, really, really bad, haven't eaten, haven't done anything because the storm is so bad, and they're like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And Paul stands up and says, listen, God told me that if you'll listen to what I have to say, everybody here is going to be all right, right? So we need to do this. This is what we need to do. Why would he know to run the ship on ground and to go and that everyone there would be taken care of? Why? Because God gave that to him, right? God gave that to him. We have the next thing that we have. There, again, get in your word and find some more out about the word of wisdom. Discerning of spirit. This is a divine availability to spiritually identifying falsehood, to distinguishing between right and wrong motives and the spiritual forces at work. To discern means to perceive by seeing or hearing or feeling, to have insight into the spiritual world. How many of you know that's important to have? Discerning of spirits. Because there's sometimes, you know what, I'm going to read. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 19. As we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. How many of you think that's a good word? These guys are telling you how to find Jesus, right? They're trying to tell you how to have salvation. And she kept doing this for many days. Verse 18, Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. And when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. So let me ask you this. Why would Paul be upset because this lady was saying, these guys are showing you to Jesus Christ? Why would he be upset with that? She's getting it from the wrong source. And everyone that gets that and sees that and hears that is going to put her source and Paul and Silas' source together in the same bundle. And so they're going to start following what she has to say, being led by another spirit, right? Just because it's a true statement doesn't mean that it comes from God, okay? That's why God gives us the discernment of spirit, discerning spirits. An availability that comes through the spirit of knowing right or wrong. How many people have you had somebody say something to you and you just knew that wasn't right? Or a certain person came around and it wasn't because of their clothes or because you just knew something wasn't right, right? That's a discerning spirit. That's a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. Why is it important that we're led by the Spirit, that we walk by the Spirit? Because how can we hear him speaking to us and showing us these things if he's not around and a part of our lives? Amen? 1 John 4, 1 through 6, he says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. In the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome, for he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We're from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." How do we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Because his Holy Spirit is inside of us and he helps us with it. He teaches us. He shows us those things. And it's a gift that some people have more than others. How many of you know you can have more than one gift? You can operate in more than one gift. It's not like this is my gift and that's all that I have. No. There are times in the scripture that you see Paul operate in almost every single one of these gifts or speak about it, right? God gives us all gifts when we need them. I mean, sometimes we don't need the spirit of discernment, and other times we do. We don't need these other gifts that we're going to talk about in part two. This is part two, and I'm going to go on. The power, action, and doing gifts. These are the things that happened, that the power that comes. How many of you remember in Acts chapter 2, it says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive what? Power to be able to be my witnesses, right? We'll receive power. These are power, action, and doing gifts. And the gift of faith is the first one I'm going to talk about. Every believer has a general faith or a saving faith, which is also a gift, right? Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing, it's of the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." In order to be able to come to him, we have to have faith, right? So the gift of faith and just having faith are two different things, right? That like we talked about before, evangelism and being an evangelist are two different things. We're all called to spread the gospel. We're all called to evangelize. We're not all evangelists, right? We're not all called to be an evangelist. There's a certain place given in a certain I don't know how to say it. You guys know what I mean. That's there. But this is the thing. It's different from the gift of faith. Divine ability to believe God for unseen supernatural results in every area of our life. It's imparted to receive miracles. It's a wonder-working faith. There's a faith that has to come. We see a different type of faith in certain situations coming through the scripture when we see Jesus and the disciples on the boat, right? They have faith in Jesus and they're following him. They're with him, right? You guys with me? Wait, they're with him. Are you with me? Okay, they're with him. And in Mark 3, 35 through 38 is what I'm going to read. I added some more scripture, actually to 40. It says this, "And on that day, the evening had come, he said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. Now the other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking onto the boat so that the boat was already filling." Have you guys ever been in a boat in a storm when the boat was getting full of stuff? It's a scary thought. I'm just saying. It's scary. Verse 38. I was in the Navy. It's scary, okay? Verse 38. "But he was in the stern asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And when he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace be still,' and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'" Now, they had faith enough to be with him, but in that particular situation, they didn't have faith, right? How many of you face a situation sometimes where you ain't got faith, where struggles, where like the young boy's father, you need to say, I believe, but help my unbelief. I have an issue. I have a problem. A gift of faith. A gift of faith is that moment when you need it the most. When God has to do a supernatural work in the situation that you're in, and you need the faith to be able to go through it. You need the faith to be able to go through it. Number five, working of miracles. Miracles can be defined as supernatural intervention by God in an ordinary course of nature. Now, we call a lot of things miracles that aren't really miracles, right? It's a miracle that happened. No, it's not really a miracle. I mean, it's just really cool that it happened that way. But this one and the very next one go a lot together. The gift of miracles and the gift of healing, okay? They work together a lot. Working of miracles doesn't always have to be a healing. It can be many different kinds. I mean, you know, there are different kinds of miracles. It's not just healing. Again, when we think miracles, we think of that happening. It can be provision from God in a certain way. Where do I see that at? John 6, 5 through 14. We talked about it last week for the offering, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just kind of skim through it. He said, lifting his eyes, he saw to a large crowd coming, and he said to Philip, where can we buy bread so that these people can eat? And Philip said, it'll be 200 denarii worth of bread and it would not be enough to feed these. So if we had 200 denarii worth of bread, we still couldn't feed these people. And Jesus said to this, he said, what do we have? Right? What do we have? Andrew, one of the disciples, Simon Peter's brother. This is the other time that we hear Andrew, right? We hear Andrew bringing him, and then we hear him right here. He pipes up in this story, right? One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy who has five barley loaves and two fishes, but what are they to feed so many? A miracle happens in that point where you look and see, what I have is not enough. What I have is not enough. It can't be enough. I can't function on what I have. This will not do what I need. How many of you find yourself in those situations sometimes? Yeah, I think we all do. I think those that are not putting their hand are will have an altar call on lying in a minute. And just take care of everybody, right? So Jesus took what they had, he gave thanks, he broke it, and they passed it out. And again, 12 basketful were picked up. 12 baskets full were picked up. The gift of working of miracles is a divine ability that does or commands or works miracles in a situation. And it's a gift that God has given to his children through his spirit. Again, if I tried to, it would be like what they said about Jesus. If I tried to put all of the miracles that God worked in this scripture in a sermon, we would be here for days, right? That's what they said about the miracles of Jesus that he did. It says in one place, and I can't remember where it's at right now, so go home and find it. It says that, what? Said, if they put all of the miracles of Christ in a book, there would not be a book big enough to contain it all, right? The things that we think sometimes are small miracles are amazing in someone's life. That's one of the things that's a squirrel. I'm going to go to it and I'm going to come back. It's one of the things I find so amazing about when Jesus went to his own hometown, right? He goes to his own hometown and they didn't believe, and so he couldn't do but a few measly miracles, right? A few little miracles. But how many of you know, to the people that he did those miracles, it's the world. It's the world, right? Miracles, man, it's not about big or small. It's about the fact that God showed up in an amazing way that otherwise we wouldn't have that. Amen? The gifts of healing. There is healing based on your faith in the word of God. Right? 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins on a tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Again, some people look at that as that is just our salvation, but I don't believe that. I believe healing comes in all different areas. When he heals one area, he heals them all. Look at everyone that he talked to. As your faith is, be healed, go and sin no more, right? So he not only took care of that, but he took care of the sin. When it says in the scripture, come before the elders of the church, it says restoration will come, but it also says, and their sins will be forgiven, right? Go look that up. That's in there too, in the book of James. Go look it up. So, healing comes. There's also healing by the ability and the power imparted on a man by the gift of healing. Where do we see this? Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It says, he appointed 12 whom he also named apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and to have the authorities to cast out demons, to have the authorities to heal, to have the authorities to go throughout the land and do what? Bring freedom, because that's what comes when Jesus is on the scene. Amen? That's what comes when Jesus is there. Mark chapter 5. We see the woman with the issue of blood. This is another time where the healing came. Just one other time. And I love this. I love this. It says, there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better, rather grew worse. Again, this is just like what we do a lot of times. We go to the doctor. Not now. I go to doctors. I do. I'm not telling you don't go to a doctor. I believe God has given us all kinds of tools that we can use, right, and that are there. But I also understand that before we go through any issue, we need to go to him before we go anywhere else. We need to go to him before we do anything else and get wisdom from him to know what's right to do and what's wrong to do. Because how many of you know, just because a doctor tells us it's right to do doesn't mean it's right to do, right? They're practicing medicine. Did you know they have a practice? They're just practicing it. That's what they call it, right? Where do you practice medicine? I haven't arrived, but I'm practicing, right? Why? Because they're always learning, always growing. Now, do they have some wisdom? Yes, they have wisdom, and I believe God's given it to them. Do they have some areas that they differ, that they mess up? Yes, I think it's just like the scripture and us reading the Bible, right? Because I read one thing, and I get one thing out of it, and you read one thing and get something totally different. One of us has to be right, right? But I'm not going to argue with you about you're right and I'm right, because I might be wrong on it. I'm going to do my best. That's why I tell you. Just go to your word, right? Before you believe anything that anybody says about what God does, find it in the word. Where does it say that? That's what somebody came to me the other day and said, hey, you said this wrong. This is the way that it is. I said, where is it at in the Bible? I'm not disputing you. I'm not saying it's not right. Bring me where you find out in the word of God so that I can study it. Like the Bereans did. You see, they took what was saying. They said, hold up. I'm taking what you're saying right now, and I'm going to go find it in the scriptures, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk. Right? That's what happens. Don't just discredit everything. Find it. Where's it at? Show me the scriptures. Let's break that scripture down and see if it means exactly what you think it means. Because sometimes we read things differently, right? Back to my point about doctors, it's the same principle. You talk to this doctor, he tells you to do this. You talk to that doctor, he tells you to do that. Talk to this one, he tells you to do that. And they're all completely different. So who do you have to listen to? That's when you call upon God to give you that discernment, right? I'm going back up a little bit to say, God, what do I do? How do I do things? But we need to come to him before we go anywhere else. Amen? Now back to my story. She grew worse. She had heard reports about Jesus and came up behind him and touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the blood flow dried up, and she felt her body, that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving that the power had left from him, had gone out from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? His disciples said, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched you? But it was a different kind of a touch. Something different had happened. Something different had happened. And he looked around to see who had done it. When the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down at her feet before him, told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, go in faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. It's a touch. It's a healing. There's a gift that comes. And it can come to us. And this is the thing. It's not my gift. It's not what I have. It's God giving it to me to share with others. It's about other people. And one thing sometimes we get messed up in is that the gift that we have, we think somehow it makes us holier or it makes us better, or look at me, I have this gift. And this is the thing. All the gifts work together for a certain purpose. And none of us are any better than any other. I do see that a lot, where people put people on a pedestal and say they're much holier than I am. They're much this and they're much that. They may be longer studying in the Word. They may know more Word than you do, but that doesn't make them any more righteous or any holier in God's eyes. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And so and I'm sorry, but that just don't allow the gift to promote pride in our lives, and understand that it's a gift, and it's just as important as anything else. It's just as important as anything else. And so anyway, the next one, C, is the gift of utterance or vocal gifts. And this is where we're going to talk about prophecy, diverse kind of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. The gift of prophecy. We see a couple of different times that it's used in the scripture over and over and over. Prophets used to come in the scripture. And what was the point of a prophet? When a prophet came to a man's home in the Old Testament, it was not a good day. Because generally, the reasons why the prophets came was to bring the issues that you need to fix in your life, right? The prophecy was about bringing you back to where you should be and allowing you to see different things. Remember this, and this isn't in the notes either, but I'm going to share it with you. You remember when David messed up with Bathsheba and the prophet came to him and he said, "Man, I want to tell you this story." Okay, look, he didn't say, "You did wrong, you're messed up, you're jacked up." He said, "I want to tell you this story, right? And I want you to get some." It was kind of like a parable. He said, "Man, this one guy, he had a whole bunch of sheep and had this guy come over in the middle of the night. He didn't want to kill his sheep, so he went and took the little lamb that his neighbor had, and because, you know, I don't want to mess up my mom, but I'm going to take yours because I can, and I'm going to use it." And so he took the little one that he loved, that he took care of. I'm paraphrasing this, but you guys get what I'm saying. Right, and he took it, and he fed it to his guest that had come, and left that man with nothing. And David said, "Where's this man at? We're gonna kill him." Right, that's his justice. "Where's he at? We're gonna kill him." He said, "It's you, David. Look at what you've done with Bathsheba. Look at what you've done here." And what happened? He broke and said, "I didn't notice. I didn't know that's what I didn't realize that's what I had done. Right? I knew what I did was wrong, but I didn't realize that." That prophet came and brought him a word that says, "Hey, you've done wrong," and repentance came from it. First Corinthians 14, I'm going to read verse 1, I'm going to read verse 5, and I'm going to read verse 39. You can go back and read all of it together, that whole chapter. But this is what I want you to hear from this about prophecy. "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Verse 5 says, "Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues." Wait, "The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up." Verse 39 says, "So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But all this should be done in decently and in order." This is the thing. Prophecy allows people to speak into our lives things that should happen, that should take place. This is the one thing that I know about prophecy in my life, and this is how I gauge it. I'm just telling you how I am. First and foremost, it has to line up with the Word of God. Second of all, prophecy in my life, every time that it has happened, it is God revealing through someone else something that he's already told me in my spirit. It's something that he's already spoken to me in my spirit, right? I had somebody tell me that I was going to be a missionary to Africa when I was a kid. Prophesied over me, "You're going to be a missionary to Africa." I was like, I don't. God ain't never told me about Africa. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that. I would love to go to Africa, but that's not the ministry he's given me, right? He's given me something different. Now, that would be good and that would be great, but it may not have been from God. That's why the discerning of spirits comes in from earlier. Again, these works all work together. But prophecy, it's one of the probably the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I say that because Paul said that as well. But in the verse, he says this. He says, "Desire spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy." With him purposely singling that out as comparison to all the rest of them in the verse, Again, that shows us that he believes it's one of the best gifts that we should have, one of the things that we should strive for most. And it makes sense if you think about it, because the gift of prophecy is when you get a direct word from the Lord for someone else. And if we follow what Christ said to us, the two most important things is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to others as yourself, right? It stands to reason that we would want God to speak to us on how to encourage other people and build each other up, right? Prophecy. When I say direct word, I mean the message from the Lord was given to you literally word for word, for the edification, exhortation, and for comfort that comes to people. First Corinthians 14:3 says this. It says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies, speaking to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. It's a divine ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that brings people to a right relationship with him. That's what it does. That's what it does. That's what it should do. We see it in Acts 2:37-40. After the Holy Spirit has fallen, and they come downstairs, and they're like, man, these guys are all drunk. And he says, they're not drunk as you suppose. And he says this, he says, he stands, he preaches, he lets them know what's going on. And he says, and now when they heard this, they were all cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do then? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And with many words, other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. What happened? He gave the word about what was happening, about what was going on, and repentance came. And repentance came. It pointed them to Jesus. First Thessalonians 1:5. Because your gospel came not only in word, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit, full of conviction, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for our sakes. Again, the Holy Spirit and the words that we speak bears out that the Spirit is a part of our lives. Amen. The gift of diverse tongues, kinds of tongues. This is the ability to pray or prophesy in a heavenly language to encourage or edify your spirit and the body of Christ in a deep communion with Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:1-14. Remember all those. Well, we already read all of that, so I'm not going to read it again. You guys go back, read that in your scripture. Verse 10 says, there are doubtless many different tongues in the world, and none of which is without meaning. But if we do not know the meaning of the language, it will be foreigner to the speaker, of a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestation of the Spirit, strive in excellence to build up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in tongues should pray that he may interpret. So again, we see where we can have one gift and another gift. Amen? Tongues and interpretations, how that's possible. That was one of the questions that I was asked. Somebody asked me this the other day. They said, hey, I know in scripture it says this, and it says one should give the tongue, and it says another should interpret. And I said, well, read that scripture correctly, and it says that one to one is given a tongue. There may be no more than three given at one time, and then to another is given the interpretation. But it doesn't say that another is a different one than the other three. Right? And then one gives the interpretation. And so that's where kind of, you see how the devil uses scripture to kind of confuse you at certain times, but you need to read and look through it and seek it. But if there's a tongue given, then an interpretation should come. Why? Because the tongue is given for God, is spoken from God. God already knows what he's saying, but it's saying to others that don't understand. How many of you understand tongues when they speak it? That's the purpose of it. That's what's going on behind it. That's where it's at. And then the interpretation does what? It's a word from God that edifies and builds up the church. The gift of interpretation of tongues is the last one. And I'm fitting it all in, almost. I just skipped a couple of verses. Sorry, I'm talking really fast, but I'm trying to get to it all, man. The gift of interpretation of tongues. This is the ability to interpret the gift of tongues. It's not translating, but it's interpreting. This is a grace-given gift by the Holy Spirit to believers, and it is not a man's ability. It also operates as the Spirit wills. So he gives it to us when we need it, and he can give it to different people at different times. And it's not that that's just your gift and that's the gift that I use. If it is, it's because you're choosing to only use that gift. Amen? There are many different gifts. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue, while the gift of diverse tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. There's some different things there for you to see and to understand. So the gifts of the Spirit, how do they function? How do they work? I want you guys to do this for me. I want you to go home and look it up. Find scriptures. Find out what's going on. See for yourselves. And then I want you to look at what gifts have you given to me? Amen? What gifts have you given to me to use? What can I use and how can I use them? And help me to understand the gifts when it's my time to use it. How many of you know if you have the gift but you don't know that it's your time to use it or that an opportunity's been given, we overlook opportunities all the time. Remember the gators that I told you about? Those people looking for the alligators? They hadn't seen any. We seen like 36. They're like, I haven't seen any. I'm like, there, there, there. Why? They had the same opportunities as me to see all those things, but because they were not looking for it, they didn't find it. Amen? Let's go look for it. Let's find it, and let's allow God to give us opportunities to use the gifts of the Spirit that he's given to us. Amen? I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes real quick. I told you the only qualification to be able to use these gifts or to have these gifts given to us is that we first have to accept Christ as our Savior, as our Lord. First have to give our lives to him. Not just one area, but all areas. And we have to receive it. Receive the gift that he's given to us. Maybe you're this morning, you've never received that gift. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. But today you want to make that change. If that's you, I just want you to put your hand up and put it back down. I want to give my life to Christ today. Just put it up and put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's all say this prayer this morning. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son so that I could have freedom. And I accept it now. I understand it's not this prayer that saves me or anything that I do. It's my belief in you, my acceptance of your son. I ask that you would help me now see your plan. See your will. Be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to know what gifts God has given you this morning? Why don't you just put your hand up? Why don't you just put your hand up? We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as you see these hands that are raised, Father God, I ask that you would help us see. Help us go this week and research and learn and do everything we can to know what those gifts are and how to use those gifts. And let us see the opportunities that you give us to use those gifts. Allow us to see your Holy Spirit moving in our lives so that we can understand what's going on, what you're doing, how you want to use us in all these different areas and aspects. And I ask that you would help us with that now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. This is what we're going to do. We're all going to stand up. We're going to sing a song before we go out. And then I'm going to come back and then Aaron's going to pray as we go out tonight. So stand with me if you would as we sing.